What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to PH, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Oh, very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Yay.
Very, very good to hear it, pal.
And good to hear you.
I tell you, long time no speak. And folks, I apologize. This one's on me. It was my fault that we couldn't record last week. Direct your hate mail towards me.
At Andy Cantwell on Twitter.
That's fine. I actually deleted Twitter off my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, because I got a like off you there earlier on today when I posted a picture.
Oh, I have it on my work computer.
Yeah. funny enough.
But I don't have the app on my phone.
There is no escape.
I'm just trying it out.
Yeah, man. Why not?
But how have you been, Terry?
I have been good.
What have you been up to? Honestly, not a lot of stuff, really.
I have stuff that I meant to talk about last week. Ooh. So we'll start off with a little trip I took to the cinema.
Oh, okay.
Me and my wife got out.
Company
together.
This time.
We went to the Lighthouse last Wednesday evening and went to see a movie called Another Round.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. I've meant to ask you this first. God damn it. Anyway, it's okay. KIT, Terry. Keep it together. If I said the name... Mads Mikkelsen to you, would that mean anything?
Is he the Carlsberg guy?
He is the Carlsberg. You're the first person. I've said it about six different people, and they're like, who? And I'm like, the guy from Casino Royale. And they're like, I'm like, he does the Carlsberg ads. Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you.
Thank you. And I think, to be honest, it was you originally who told me, because I think I Googled it live on the pod.
Yeah, I think because it might have been the Captain Doctor Strange episode we did on. But this movie stars Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah? Good, was it?
Andy, let me tell you.
Oh, here we go.
This film, it blew my socks off. Let me give you the premise, and you would appreciate this.
Okay.
Maybe I'm insulting you by saying
you go on.
This.
You said it now.
So
what's it about?
It's about a bunch of sad dads.
Oh, yeah? Keep going.
So Mads Mikkelsen is a teacher. And him and his three friends are teachers in a school in Denmark. And he is sad. He's sad with his life. He is getting no joy from teaching. He doesn't really seem to be connected with his wife or kids or anything like that. You know, he just seems to be drifting through life. And they're out for dinner. And he's driving. And the rest of it's for one of the lads' 40s. But they're having a lovely slap-up meal.
Right,
and all this alcohol and wine and food is being placed in front of him. They're kind of like, "Oh, why won't you drink?" And they kind of talk about how he's changed from what he used to be, this kind of big man on campus.
Yeah,
you know, he was going for a PhD and all this, and now it's kind of, you know, it's sad to see him that way. And whatever way they present the food and drink in it, I was like, oh man, I want to be at it. They present a glass of chilled vodka in front of them. And we talked about this in our drinking episode, how you used to drink vodka almost straight. And the thought of that now repulses me.
That made it look appealing?
Oh my God, Andy. And they're like, oh, have a drink with us, whatever. And he takes the drink of vodka, and it's like, yes, I would succumb to this as well. But the crux of the film is, while he's doing this, and he kind of breaks down and says, you know, I don't see a lot of people, you know, I don't do anything. And one of the guys says, you know that, like, there's a study that says humans are born with too low a blood alcohol content level.
Right.
So they say, like, the optimum level is 0.5 blood alcohol. So, like, that's like a couple of glasses of wine.
Right.
Okay? And they decide to do an experiment of they're going to try and keep their blood alcohol level at this rate.
Okay.
But only within working hours, like nothing after 8 o'clock and not on the weekends.
So they're going to keep themselves inebriated? Or the
kind
opposite?
Of like buzzed. Yeah. And it's kind of like, does it affect how they are? And it's like, they actually seem way happier doing this. And then it kind of goes to like, well, what is alcoholism? You know, like how far is it before you're an alcoholic?
I suppose being buzzed is probably a better feeling than being drunk, I think. You know what I mean? I can see how you would thrive while being buzzed.
He's amazing in this film, first of all. Like, and like him, the difference in like him when he's not buzzed teaching and when he is like,
yeah,
like he like feels
different actor.
Energized, he's brilliant in it. And there is a scene where they go to a pub and like they're on a heavy session in this scene, and like I actually found myself being like reaching towards the screen, just like it's like Jay, I wish
I loved anything as much as you love movies.
It's like I want to go into that screen there, because there's a guy playing the piano, they're singing, they're standing on tables, and I was like, it's been so long, Andy. It's been
Why do I get the impression that Faye was tied to the chair?
Okay. She loved it.
Okay.
I, like, to be honest, I felt very emotional watching this.
Well, I would have assumed so.
But it was brilliant.
Okay.
Really, and
another round?
Another round. It's Danish. Subtitles.
You mug me right off.
What are you talking?
Paying
you
attention.
You use subtitles. Every movie you watch, you have.
Yeah,
subtitles
but I need the English audio
and
the subtitles together.
No, you don't.
I do. I need it.
No, you would be surprised.
It does actually sound like a good movie.
It's fucking brilliant. If it's
on Netflix, I'll give it a watch.
There's so many bits. I'm not even gonna respond to that. There's so many bits in it where, like, each character has like a win, and there's a little, like, one of them is like a gym teacher who coaches like soccer on the side, and it's like they follow him for a little bit. And you're like, when he gets his win, I was like, I know that feeling. Like, I was like, oh, that was me on the side of the pitch being like, yes, you know.
Oh, brilliant.
So good.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you enjoy it. Like, I'm curious just because of seeing how riled up you are about it.
And you know, like, I ran into friend of the podcast, your arch nemesis Tony Kane, before I went in, and I asked him how it was.
Son,
he's like,
bitch.
He didn't give too much away. But I tell you, he buried the lead. He
said, I love it.
You could watch his house. It's a nice way to spend 2 hours looking at Mads Mikkelsen. And he's not wrong.
He's a good looking man.
He's like a shark or something.
Yes, a human shark. Or hark. It doesn't work now. I was at the cinema too, Terry. Oh, okay. Well, you kind of stole my thunder there, but yep.
Go ahead.
Peter Rabbit 2. Not as good as Peter Rabbit 1, I'll say that right off the bat. Bit too much talking in it. I think they assume that the people who liked Peter Rabbit have grown up now and don't mind a bit of extra talking. But it was, you know what? I think I was laughing loudest and most frequently in the cinema. Donald Gleeson was excellent, as he is.
As he want to be. You know what I can't abide about that film?
Yeah.
The voice of the rabbit.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I don't get it. And
he's
actually,
a fat sack of crap.
They kind of make reference to it in the movie where he's like, "Have I got an annoying voice?" And it's like, "I like it, but some people might find it polarizing." So there's a few little like sort of nods to that sort of thing. It's a fun movie, but
I love Rose Byrne. You know, she's
Yeah, and I just realized after she was Seth Rogen's wife in Neighbours, wasn't she?
Yeah, Bridesmaids.
Didn't even cop it.
Now, Andy, I'm going to interrupt you here. And just
okay, go on.
Tell you what I'm drinking.
Okay, yeah, I've seen you making it. What is this?
I know we got a few rum heads out there on the pod. Where are my rum heads at? Well, I'm drinking a Takamaka rum.
Excuse me? Gesundheit.
Takamaka. It is.
Bat droppings?
Shakaka. I was doing a bit of cleaning and I realized that this bottle we brought back from our honeymoon in the Seychelles was just lying there waiting to be drank. And
rum from the Seychelles, just lying about the place.
Just lying about the place.
Nice.
This place is just falling apart, as you can see.
Well, I've got a humble tea, Terry.
It's bloody delicious as well.
It looks delicious. I'd rather be drinking what you're drinking. I will give you that.
I want to talk about just like what we did. We did a bonus Patreon episode on Hobbs and Shaw.
It's kind of you to say we.
I did a comment.
I want to talk to you about it. I haven't heard the commentary yet, though, I'll be honest.
Look, I did a commentary and then I actually was like, that's not going to be listenable unless somebody actually decides to sit down and watch it with the commentary. Sometimes when I'm listening to a commentary, you can be out and about and walking. And I think it would work better if the two of us were probably doing the commentary. For me, because it was long parts where I was just like looking at the screen trying to figure out what is happening and not actually saying anything. So it's not so dead air. And then being like, what the fuck was that?
It was a mad movie. I watched it myself over the weekend.
Garbage.
I mean,
it's garbage. And you know me, I am one to be like, try and find the positives in a movie.
Yes.
This movie fucking sucked.
It wasn't great. There was a point.
It is by far the worst Fast and Furious movie. It's barely even a Fast and Furious movie.
It's just more they have to put the title on it, but it's a spin-off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But like,
it was kind of, there was a scene about an hour and a half in where there's so much going on. I think it might have been like the Russian thing that you were talking about.
They're in Chernobyl.
And there's just shit going on. The Rock's driving this truck. Something else is happening somewhere else. And I was like, I turned away for a second. And I'm like, what's happened here? Like, I there's so many times where I'd be talking to Kerry for like literally 20 seconds. And like, what is going on? I'm completely lost.
That was my breaking point in the movie because I paused it just when that ended to be like, or just as it was ending. I was like, oh, so this must be the end of the movie.
Yeah.
50 minutes left. And I'm sitting there with my recording. No, but come on. Like, this is the end of the movie. You've got into the bad guy's lair.
Yeah.
Everything's blowing up. You're making your escape. And like, then they just reset it. And it's
surely
like,
it's more expensive for them. No, it's not. Actually, that's a dumb thing to say.
I mean, it made a lot of money.
But I was going
to
say, like,
$200 million to make it, and it made $780 million.
What?
$200 million. And the CGI looks shite.
$200 million? Well, it's like $150 million on The Rock's paycheck.
Like he was the producer on that movie. Like Seven Books is like one of the first credits.
Seven
that
Books
comes
production.
Up.
You know why it's called that, Terry?
Because that's what he had when blah blah blah. Yep. Yeah, when he was living
fired from the CFL.
Oh, is that what it was? It wasn't like when he was homeless, which I don't believe for a second, by the way.
I don't really either. No. Well, I mean, I believe it technically. You know, I'm sure technically he was homeless, but
it's
a
terrible movie.
I still love The Rock. Everyone was just being themselves. The Rock was himself. Ryan Reynolds was himself.
Hated it.
Kevin Hart was himself.
Hated it. Like,
Statham was like a real goofy or something in it. Like, he wasn't
that
the
was
Statham
the
from
thing.
Fast. What was it? Seven. Yeah.
Or Fast Seven. He was just, he blew up a hospital in the first scene.
Yeah.
And now it's like they're trying to convince us that, oh, Idris Elba reworked.
I tell you what, Big Driss. Big Driss was good. Give him that.
Yeah, he was working with fucking dog shit and he was still good.
Yeah. It's Big Driss.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was I had to cleanse myself after watching that film. After watching 2 hours of 15 of that, I stuck on a little movie called No Sudden Move. It's a new Steven Soderbergh movie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Starring your boy, Don Cheadle.
Hey.
And Benicio actually was in it.
He's 87 years old.
He fucking looks it, this man. He looks old. I think that's the whole thing. He's playing his age.
God.
But this movie is what you would call Taut. It's a taut little thriller.
What does that mean? Sounds sexy.
Oh, sounds sexy.
It's a taut little thriller.
It's basically like how the story is they're hired, Benicio and Don Cheadle and I think it's Kieran Culkin are hired to...
Odd pairing.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Like, right, they're all okay. Kind of... They don't know each other and they're hired in this job to like... And it's set in the 50s, I think. But it's there. The guy from Stranger Things, the police chief, David Harbour.
Yeah.
They basically break into his house and Kieran Culkin takes him to the office to get something for whoever hired them. So Cheadle and Benicio are babysitting the family and then something happens, it goes wrong, and it's, you know, a whole big
good
crime. I fucking really liked it, I have to say. Like, you know, it was so much that it was... I don't remember looking at my phone once while I watched it. Now, I can... It's a bit slow, but I liked that it was slow and it took its time. And you're like, ooh, that's interesting. Wait a minute, we've cut over to these characters that we haven't been introduced to. I tell you, it's got a great little cast.
Go on.
You got big Brendan Fraser.
Hey.
He's a fat guy.
Big Brendan.
Like, he's become a fat guy now.
Brilliant. It was always going that way, really.
Well,
he fought the good fight for a long time.
Look at George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. Like, and now, anyway, you got Ray Liotta in there.
Hey.
You got I love when a movie does this. A third act reveal of a megastar that hasn't been advertised. And I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Tell me who it is.
If you know Soderbergh, he's in a lot of Soderbergh movies.
Oh, okay. I don't know who Soderbergh is. Hang on.
He directed the Ocean's 11 movie.
Steven... Oh, is he like a Michael Bay, but not quite as bad?
Generally? No, he's the opposite. He's won Oscars. Like, okay. This guy. He's pretty bad.
Couldn't have been further from... Okay, well, I'm not... hold on. It's got a list of actors he's been in it. Got it, I know who it is.
Who?
And I know who it is without even seeing it.
Okay, go on.
Matt Damon.
Is that yes?
Yes.
By God, he got it right.
He done it. Brilliant.
Great. Yeah, he's great in it. So good movie. You can find it online. Is all I'll say.
That one's for you. There, I don't think that I don't think you're talking to me there, folks. He's talking to you.
Under 2 hours as well brings it in nicely.
Anything else?
I'm watching a bit of TV, Andy.
Loki. Can we talk about Loki, please?
Save it for the Patreon.
Let's just talk a little bit about it. Give me a taste.
It's great. It's great. I'm fucking loving it.
Fucking
I'm
brilliant it was.
Owen Wilson, it's a delight to see him on the screen. And he is doing some phenomenal work.
It's very close to WandaVision, I'll say. I'm having fun every week, bar the third episode.
But even as much as I didn't dig the third episode, it has affected the fourth and fifth ones.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
It wasn't a waste.
But I didn't.
No, it wasn't a waste, but I didn't enjoy it at the time. But yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow's episode. I think he's been brilliant. And I didn't like Loki at the start, if you recall.
Well, but I do recall that when we did Thor Ragnarok, you loved them.
Oh, yeah. I did a complete 180. I'm a complete Marvel mark now.
I know. I did it. I got you there.
Well, and to be honest, I was expecting a similar thing from the Ryan Gosling series. I thought, well, you know what? I'm just gonna lie back in the water and float my way to liking Ryan Gosling.
We still got time.
I do still have time. I have plenty to say about Crazy Stupid Love. I'll say that.
Hey,
I'll save
good.
That.
What I've been watching is the best damn comedy show on television.
I think you should leave.
Hell fucking yeah. I mean, what, did you watch season 2?
I watched the first couple episodes, yeah.
Oh, Andy, my God.
Do you know what?
This show.
I don't know what I think of this show. That's my honest opinion.
I am sometimes blown away by it.
Sometimes it's genius, and sometimes I'm just kind of like... Here's what it is. I find myself enjoying it But like, I'm never like rolling in the aisles laughing, you know, that sort of thing.
I watched, it must be the first episode. Like, I watched it on my way home from work one of the day. I think it was Friday. You,
it couldn't be more, and I don't mean this as an insult because it kind of sounds like one. It couldn't be more up your street, this show.
That, well, thank you.
I mean, as a compliment.
Yeah, that, I don't know if it's in the first episode where he's like, "Hi, I'm Carl Havoc," or whatever. He's going under, you know, hidden camera.
Oh, yeah.
he's like, go over and pick up the table. He's like, "It's too hot. We put too much stuff on."
Yeah.
Like, he's like, "I can't do it." The chin kills.
Like, to be honest, like that's the thing I find about him is that, like, some sketches I laugh at, and other ones, like, it's kind of like, it's the punchline is always basically him just doubling down on whatever insane concept he thinks is normal, you know.
Did
where
you
he's talking
see the
about like the complicated shirts one, and he's there lying in the boardroom or eating the hot dog in the boardroom.
Did you see the one where they had dinner? It's the opening sketch. Is like they're having dinner with their like old college professor
of episode one.
No, it's like episode 3 or 4.
No. I will get to watch
that sketch. He plays the straight man here for once, you know, and they have this like elderly black man, and the things he is doing with this, like, it's a dinner sketch, and it's basically all about like who has the better food.
Mm-hmm.
Things he's doing, I was fucking pissing myself. Oh, there's one, I don't know why, there's one that where it was a new movie coming out, Detective Crashmore. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah, I'm wasting my time.
No, but I will.
They're 15 minutes as well.
I know. It's one that I will go back to because I can't remember. I think it was, to be honest, I actually stopped watching it to watch The Simpsons for this podcast. No, I will go back to it. I remember season one being good.
I got two things.
Two more movies.
Well, one we can both talk about.
Okay.
Because I know you watched it.
Okay,
it's
go
not
on
a movie.
Then.
It's not a movie. This other thing I want to talk, I recently came into possession of an Apple TV subscription.
Oh, yeah. How'd you get that?
None of your business.
No.
Just,
stop the pod for a sec. Specifically, how did you get that?
A friend.
Okay.
And I've been watching Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet. Have you heard of this show?
I can't do this. Terry, I can't do this.
But
no,
it's by your boys. It's by Rob McElhenney and Charlie Day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, it's very different from It's Always Sunny.
Mm,
but Rob McElhenney. But he's the star of it. Okay. And it's kind of similar to something like The Office, a bit of The Office, a bit of Community, and maybe a bit of like Silicon Valley thrown in. It's about like a Mythic Quest is the game. It's like an MMO game,
right?
And Raven's Banquet is the new expansion pack. So it follows like the people working on the game,
right?
It's in the offices of this gaming studio. Okay. It's very good, very good. I have to say,
like, the fact that they're involved, you know. You already know it's going to be good.
But it has like cricket. Funny. Cricket is in it, like,
hey,
as well. Like, he's like one
cricket.
Of the main. He's one of the main characters. Abed is in it. Maybe that's why I think it's like Community.
Ooh.
He's one of the main characters.
Okay.
Now
you've got me, Terry.
Yeah, by the Jaffas. F. Murray Abraham is in it. Andy,
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. I mean, just look up fucking
F. Murray. He's starting
up,
it with an F.
Yeah, look up Amadeus. Why don't you read a fucking book once in a while?
Oh, Jesus. That's some face, isn't it?
I think he won the Oscar for Amadeus.
Okay.
With that face. How about that?
I haven't seen it.
I mean, do you like
Mozart? Is it?
Yeah, it's a movie, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was some sort of movie, is it? Listen, Terry.
Last thing. Sunday night was a nerve-wracking night.
Sorry,
Andy.
Folks. We'll get through this.
Sunday night was a nerve-wracking night for both of us.
The Euros!
Yeah,
okay. Again, I apologize. I apologize.
Yeah.
I jumped in.
Yeah. This last thing on my list.
Wasn't it? No, I mean, no offense. I know we have some English listeners, but you got to expect that we're going to be thrilled.
My lord, was I? I think I was more nervous than if Ireland had been playing in that final. To be honest, like
when I seen that they went 1-0 up so early, and then I kept checking. I wasn't really watching the final, but I was checking it, and I was like, still half time. I was like 1-0. I was like, fucking hell. And then I just happened to check at like 70 minutes, and they'd equalized.
Did you watch from then on?
No, I didn't. I just checked to see at 90 minutes, and then I came down and I watched the penalties.
The pens.
I was fucking.
I do feel. Look, I didn't want England to win by any stretch of the imagination, but I felt sorry that the three boys that missed.
Yeah.
Were definitely going to get like death threats and racial abuse and stuff like that. Like, especially when Rashford missed the first one, I was just like, oh no.
Mm. I'll be honest, I didn't actually think of that until afterwards, but then, like, of course.
He's had it so fucking bad anyway, like, just with...
Yeah, and luckily he's got such a good head on his shoulders, yeah, but, like Saka's mad young.
He's 19, like...
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And, like, Sancho's 21, like...
I have to say, though, purely from a football perspective, I didn't see Rashford missing, but I could tell from Sancho and Saka. You know where you can just tell...
I don't know, nervousness, or you know. Yeah, I think the fact that they, like, well, for Sancho and Rashford haven't been on the pitch literally
just for that
a minute, like if even that, like, you know. Sometimes it works, like, but like if you haven't had like a feel or got comfortable, like you're saying, like, you know.
And especially against, like, I don't know how you pronounce Donnarumma. Yeah. Against keeper like him, I could, like,
I think he saved 4 penalties in the league alone last year, which is mental. It is a mental stat, like
Mocha Joe. But like the thing about it is, like, that stop-starty run up, like, these keepers
normally, but he doesn't normally do it. That's why I was real surprised to see, like, he did the little thing.
I've seen he apologised and sort of went into a bit of detail about what he was going for today.
He doesn't need to fucking do that, like, you know.
Well, he apologised for that, but he said he's you know, he definitely won't apologise for, you know, anything else.
But yeah, he's right too, like.
But like, it's that whole thing, like, where, because like you do that creepy uppy walk, and then if the keeper doesn't move, then you're just kind of left standing at the ball, and you have to sort of just hit it from a standing position.
Yeah.
Like, you never get, well, you rarely get full power or, you know, even good placement when you're there, because if the keeper stays still and doesn't go for it.
That big, like, circle around run up is the in vogue one at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah. You go right to the side.
Trotting backwards and then run, like...
Yeah.
But I felt kind of betrayed by Jorginho, to be honest.
Of all the people you expected.
I just wanted him to fucking stick him on his arse again, like he did with Simon.
Yeah, who actually applauded himself. Yeah. Good panel. Well done.
Yeah. What a way to fucking it would have been to win.
I tell you, I was delighted that it went to penalties as well, as a neutral. And I was thinking before the match, I was like, okay, England, come on, like, you can't win. Then I was thinking, oh, of course, penalties. They'll lose on penalties in the final. It's written in the stars. It was a great tournament, I have to say. Some really good football. The best team probably won. It was so mad to see the fans. I wouldn't have been able to take it
if England had won, just because the fans.
It was already insufferable, to be honest.
Oh my god! But and I just, like, they had probably the easiest route to a final.
You'll
get,
like that. That's two sides to the argument. One is like Southgate, obviously, like, you know, build a statue of him. But then the other side is what an opportunity they had. What, 6 games at home? The final was at home. Fair enough, Germany, they had to be. But, you know, Ukraine, Denmark.
A subpar Germany team as well. Like, I mean, look, they're still good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
they're definitely one of the best teams. Yeah. Like, they'd be in contention.
But England were bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they beat Croatia and they were kind of bad. They didn't beat Scotland. They drew 0-0 with them. Scotland are not a good team, like, and the talent England have on paper, you think they should be,
yeah.
And then they beat Czech, and they, like, again, they were just, they're like, by the time they gotten past Germany, they're like, oh, we haven't conceded any goals. Like, he'd scored 4 goals, Yeah. Spain have scored 10 in their last two games. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Denmark had scored 8 in their last two.
They weren't that free flowing attacking. You know,
and they were against Ukraine because Ukraine. Yeah. Well,
are Ukraine?
Yeah, but also like they were spent that game against Spain. Oh, not Spain, Sweden. Ukraine, the extra time, 30 minutes of extra time was players going over a cramp or kicking each other. It was like stopped so many injuries. And it was like, well, whatever happens, whoever goes through to play England, they're going to be dead. Like, yeah. You know, they've just kicked lumps out of each other for 120 minutes.
It was just great to have football on, to be honest, yeah. With crowds.
A difference.
It makes such a difference. I completely forgot, like I was saying the last time. I thought, like, I was just happy football was back initially, and then I thought, oh, this is still pretty good. But the difference in the tension that it makes in a game, like in a tight game, so good. But listen, Terry, I don't really have anything to report there. A brief mention on the UFC. I don't know if you've seen the result. Oh, boy. What else can you say?
With that story.
It's mad.
I used to be like, I actually was saying, like, geez, it's great that Ireland have a representative in the UFC. Yeah. And now I'm like, ugh, this guy.
I've kind of turned the other way myself. And I'll admit, I turned a lot longer.
You hung on for a long time. Long time.
But like,
he's a knacker, like, and then like what, like he's like threatening to kill them while they're asleep.
It's so different to like the McGregor on the rise, like featherweight McGregor, who was all about like optimism and motivation, and like it was all like, you know, like he was so focused, he was backing it up and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. Really nice guy, generally, to, you know, he said himself, humble in victory and defeat. He certainly wasn't humble in this defeat. Like, he's just, it's not like...
It is like a Martin Scorsese film.
It's so predictable as well. No, like, but you can like, see it happening. Mean,
like, it's almost like out of a film where it's like, oh, like Goodfellas. It's almost like, it's like, oh, too much coke, here's the downfall. Like,
yeah.
You know, that kind of like...
It's like the Layla piano like, song is playing right now.
When his ankle snapped. The camera just cranes up him on his back.
Just that, like, I don't know if you actually seen the interview when he's talking about like your man's wife and all this, like, he's like, your wife's in me DMs and all this, like Joe Rogan's on the mat sitting beside him and like he's like oh, fucking hoe or something like that, he was saying, and all this, and like
he's a knacker, like
it was just, and you could see the fucking rage on his face and he was just like, fuck's sake. And all this. It's like he's fucking, like, you know,
but he's
completely
like,
losing the plot.
Like he has been for the last 3 years or whatever. Like when
I'd say from around the Mayweather fight,
probably before that though. Like,
because
what was the big
I thought,
one in Vegas?
He had the Nate Diaz loss. Then he came back and beat Nate Diaz in the second fight, and then he fought Eddie Alvarez for the second belt.
Yes,
where he was amazing. And then after that, he had about a year off, and then he went to fight Floyd in boxing.
Yeah. So like it was that like year off, I'd say.
Yeah, and particularly when he got that
because
Floyd
then all,
money,
all
like,
the shit was coming out, all the like stories, all the mad stories about him.
Yeah,
you know, and so all like it was, just, and then just the whole fucking thing with
like, punching the outfielder.
Yeah, like just a fucking knacker.
There's no, he didn't even really address it. Like, he just said, oh, I've handled it, or I apologize to him. But, like,
It is a shame.
It is a shame, because he was, and, like, I found him to be hugely, like, inspirational at the start.
I did. I was like, this guy was on the dole, and he worked his way up, and look at
him. Fair fucks to him. Like, if people don't like him, 100%. And it's like, people don't like him, he rubs him up the wrong way. He's just getting paid. Like, he's only talking about other fighters and saying how much better he is. Like, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
But then, and then when he fought Aldo, when it got to Aldo, because I was first of all, like the Chad Mendes fight, I remember thinking like, holy shit, like he actually won it. And then it's like, okay, now he's against Aldo.
Stay up till whatever 6 o'clock and watch them, like, you know?
And the way the Aldo fight went after like 13 seconds, I was like, that was like the biggest like, sort of moment in watching. And just from that to this, like, I know, fair enough, when you get older, like things dip and you're not the same and all this, but it's more of his personality that bums me out, you know, rather than his skill set, you know. But anyway, just a brief note on that. Listen, this is one of the longest intros we've ever had on this podcast. We're at 35 minutes here.
Yay. Well, look, this is what people wanted.
Listen, we're making up for last time. Terry, can I please talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Sure.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 167th episode of The Simpsons, The Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie Show?
Yes.
Well, with this episode, The Simpsons surpassed the Flintstones in the number of episodes produced for a primetime animated series. Let me just take a little drink here.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Okay. It was written by David X. Cohen, directed by Stephen
Z, and it's all in the family.
Dean Moore. And it aired on Fox February 9th, 1997. Now, I have a bit to get through here, so bear with me.
Sure.
Before production of Season 8 began, several executives at Fox suggested the staff add a new character to the show who would live with the Simpsons on a permanent basis in a bid to freshen up the series. The writers found the suggestion, usually a sign considered a sign of desperation to boost a flagging series, amusing. Therefore, much of the episode revolves around this trope. Parallel to the episode's main plot where Poochie is introduced, the writers inserted a one-time character, Roy, a college-aged man who is shown to be living with the Simpsons with no explanation to his presence. Roy was originally conceived for the Time and Punishment segment of Season 6, Treehouse of Horror, living with the Simpsons in one of the alternate realities as a second teenage son of the family.
Interesting.
The there was supposed to be, I can't remember who, I think it was David X. Cohen, originally had Poochie as like this like rich dickhead. There's a thing here where it says, this was the original plan for Poochie. Itchy and Scratchy are laborers in Poochie's gold mine. Poochie sits on a velvet throne surrounded by bags of money. He drinks champagne as he whips Itchy and Scratchy and lectures them on the value of hard work in a capitalist society. Finally, Itchy and Scratchy get fed up and plan their revenge. They decide Scratchy will present a fake money bag to Poochie and Itchy will be hiding in the bag. When he raises the bag to inhale the sweet smell of money, Itchy will jab him in the nose with a syringe of poison. Itchy gets in the bag and Scratchy presents it, but the plan backfires because Poochie is offended by how small the money bag is. To demonstrate how worthless it is to him, he sets it on fire and uses it to light his cigar. Itchy's flaming skeleton falls out of the burning bag and the syringe lands on
Itchy.
Lands on Scratchy's toe and kills him too. Poochie says, oh well, I can always use my millions of dollars to hire more workers. That's the power of money. The end.
Is that an like?
This is what I think David X. Cohen said that was the original plan for Poochie.
But like,
let me confirm.
Is it any worse than the Poochie you get in the episode?
I mean, I guess the whole...
It seems weirder because they're trying to play it straight. But I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose in this one it's... Yeah, like his... I think it works better the way they did it because he's trying to be cool in this, you know. Yeah, he said his initial vision for Poochie was that he'd be annoying to fans because he was wealthy, aloof, and unlikable. And that's what he read that... as like, part of the script on a commentary.
Like we're not here for the Itchy and Scratchy stuff. You know what I mean? Like, so like the Simpsons aren't gonna care about a Poochie character.
Yeah,
you know, Simpsons fans aren't gonna care about. That's what I can't wrap my head around. Like, is he writing him, like, when he says the fans, does he mean like the fans of the within the world of the Simpsons, or does he mean the fans of the show The Simpsons?
Surely of within the show.
This is wrinkling my brain.
What came first, Terry? The episode features the first use of Comic Book Guy's catchphrase, worst episode ever, which was taken from the alt.tv.simpsons news group. And there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, but I think I've lost it. But what I liked about this episode, I will say, and it got, I'll finish up by saying it got very good reviews and it's in a lot of people's top 20, top 30 Simpsons episodes ever.
Top 30 hits. Every time. Every time. Do you not know that you're doing the Top of the Pops, or are you just doing it to wind me up?
No, it was Top 30 Hits. Wasn't it? Ireland's Top 30 Hits. What was that song, huh?
It wasn't Top of the Pops song that you're doing, that you do every time, and I'm never sure if you know.
What's that? Discovery. Well, look, that's
all I've got. What do your notes have to say?
Okay, well, let me just get them, because for some reason I thought I had them open. Bear with me. This is very unprofessional, Will. Phones is very slow, so.
You should have a notepad like me.
I'm a digital man. I'm a digital man. You know I'm a digital man.
Nah.
I'm not a pen and pad man.
No.
You know what? In work, I'm a pen and pad man. Don't like to write anything down. Any tasks or to-dos, I like to write them down.
Is it on a sticky, or is it on a notepad?
In a pad, which I bring from home, because they don't provide. If you're asking, because they don't provide the side opening A4 pads. It's one of the ones at work, the ones you flip over,
pads?
And the pages rip off whenever you flip it over. So I bring my own spiral pad. Okay. Excuse me. Right. My first note is. Again, I probably already jumped the gun. My first note is just how I like the image of Marge hugging Bart when he's asleep, where he's like, "You can hug me when I'm asleep." He's like, I do.
Well, you've skipped a whole bunch. Told you. Like, it starts off with the Itchy and Scratchy episode that the kids aren't watching.
Yeah.
Like, Krusty was doing a one-man pie fight. But yeah, then, like, Marge sees the kids at the table.
And already, I mean, I have to say, what I loved about this episode was how, as you might say, meta-textual it was.
Yes.
In that there was a few times where I was like, this is clearly what the writers have been dying to say in response to some stupid question. Yeah, exactly.
I did love, like, that when you're saying, like, Bart's like, I do, like, Bart, like, no, like, his face.
Genuinely terrified.
Then we get Roger Myers showing up.
Brilliant. The brilliant Roger Myers.
Hey, Krusty, you look great. You get your teeth bleached? There's a new guy in a polymer trip. Now, shut up!
Good old Alex Rocco himself.
Yes, sir.
And I love the graph even of... Yeah.
What happened here? Lightning hit the transmitter?
I was going to use that for the ratings, thing, which coincidentally was also in this episode, the one I used. But I love that. It's like, pow, 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 kabloom. I just love that.
It's like, this crater is where your show was on. I was like, he's like, I claimed I ought to replace it with a Chinese cartoon with our robots turning the blingwads.
But I'm a lazy man. Yeah, I love that. Like,
and then just like, okay, Mel, you can go in now. Like, after he slams the door and it smashes. Krusty.
I think Mel and Krusty are
such a good double act.
Yeah, and they're probably underutilized, I'd say. You know, because they're such a great pairing of, like, belligerent drunk and, like, thespian, like, sort of.
Like, it's weird. Like, that episode that we didn't like when Krusty gets cancelled way back in season 4. The best part of that episode was Mel and Krusty's interaction. And, like, he's like, you gotta come back, Mel. He's like, no, Krusty, Mr. Johansson treats me right here. He's like, is this clown bothering you, Mel?
That's all right, Mr. Johansson.
I'll handle it. Like, and then the whole, like, the whole already here.
Like, here's one of Mel's perfect. Finest moments.
Yeah. But you don't see him enough.
No, I think he's one of the regular cast, isn't he? Like,
yeah. They just don't write for that character. Yeah, I guess.
I think they should. And then my favorite scene in the whole episode, and one of my favorite scenes ever, is the where he's like, Would you kids like to come with me? and they get. I was thinking they get the animation of the guy so spot on in that, like, he's he looks crunched. Like. And he, like, first of all, he has to have the mustache.
Yeah.
And like, but they have him in these, like, sort of not bright clothes. Like,
they're beige. He could, like, green,
possibly be shady.
Tan, like.
And but he's got a big smile.
And he's hunched over. Yeah. Like, and something about the haircut as well. Yeah. Like, it's just really good. Like, in the script, it's like, before long, they encounter a creepy-looking guy who speaks to them. Like, you know?
And the I just love, I mean, we use it for the ratings. Thing of just like, we want you to tell us what you think and be honest. Because I just, there's something about the voice. I can't even put my finger on it because I'm tight. But like,
it's just an old creaky mirror, you know. Sometimes it sounds a little like it's sneezing, coughing, or talking softly.
They like itchy, they like scratchy. One kid seems to love the Speedo Man. What more do they want?
Okay, how many of you kids would like Itchy and Scratchy to deal with real-life problems like the ones you face every day? And who would like to see them do just the opposite, getting into far-out situations involving robots and magic powers? So you want a realistic, down-to-earth show that's completely off the wall and swarming with magic robots?
That's right. You should win things by watching.
You kids don't know what you want. That's why you're still kids, because you're stupid. Just tell me what's wrong with the freaking show.
Oh, Mommy.
You kids don't know what you want. That's why you're still kids, because you're stupid.
You're stupid.
Just tell me what's wrong with the freaking show.
He is so good.
He's brilliant. I love it. The whole scene, the voice on your man, the tester, and then him hiding in the mirror. I just thought
that's it, little girl. You've saved Itchy and Scratchy.
Please sign these papers indicating you did not save Itchy and Scratchy.
But even the bit where he's like, I don't get it. They like Itchy, they like Scratchy. One kid seems to love the Speedo Man. Yeah. What more do they want?
My next note was that how meta Lisa's speech is, where he's like, what is it? I don't know if you have this in the script there, but she's like pretty much nailing it on the head.
He's like, there's nothing wrong with it, but after so many years, characters lose some of their impact or something like that. Like,
you can't expect the characters to have the same impact that they once had.
So, like,
I was going to say they had all of the Simpsons writers.
This is what I wanted to get to. He's like, I have figured out how to rejuvenate the show. It's so simple. You egghead writers would have never thought about it.
Love it.
What we need is a new character. One that today's kids can relate to. It's like, Itch and Scratchy haven't changed at all. Like, I know that's kind of the point. But also, like, the reason, like, bringing in... It doesn't make sense, is what I'm saying. Like, you know, because your target demographic in this world hasn't changed.
Yeah,
ever. Like.
And it's just the classic move of like that to improve the ratings of a terrible show. But I have
in the script, it actually says here, Oakley. It's like, are you sure that's brilliant. Wise? I mean, I don't want to sound pretentious here, but Itchy and Scratchy comprise a dramaturgical digest.
They had Cohen wearing the squid shirt. Bill Oakley was the furthest away. Josh Weinstein was the one next to him. Next to Weinstein is George Meyer.
Is he the one that gets fired?
Yes.
Yes.
And the animator shown designing Poochie is David Silverman. And other writers who appear in the episode include Dan McGrath, Ian Maxtone Graham, Donna Carey, Ron Haig, Ned Goldroyer, and Mike Scully, who had to be added in later as the animators did not have a photo to use as a likeness. So I love this. This is clearly like one for the writers, And I was going to say, in that meeting, I love the the woman executive's voice. I don't know her name.
She does all.
Yeah, well, just the actor.
I think it. I don't know if it's Tress MacNeille or.
I don't know. Let's just say it is.
Yeah. But the character.
Die Hard Simpsons podcast.
Yeah, come on, man.
I don't know. I don't know the name. But that's kudos.
That's you know, behind the scenes stuff. We're talking about the text.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. her character would eventually just turn into, is it Lindsay Nagel?
Lindsay Nagel?
Yeah, the character.
Who's Lindsay Nagel? Or
Lindsay Nagel is one of the characters. She's a blonde-haired lady in The Simpsons.
No. I'm way out of my depth here, to be honest, Richard Terry.
Am I right here in saying that? Like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's the stock businesswoman.
Yeah.
Character.
So
you know
the one
I mean?
Who's saying that they need pizzazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zork? What is Zork? I didn't say Zork.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did like Krusty. He's like, what do you got in mind? Sexy broad? Gangster octopus? No. The animal chain of command goes mouse, cat, dog.
And it's like something like Poochie, but more. What was it? I can't remember what you said. Something like Poochie, but more zassy, or it was something like that. And he's like, so Poochie okay with everyone? Yeah, that's good.
Like, more proactive.
More proactive, yeah.
But like, even it's like, a dog, isn't that a tad predictable? It's like, in your dreams, we're talking about the dog from hell. It's like, you mean Cerberus? Like, I love how they make the cartoon writers, like, a lot of them, like, Harvard.
Yeah,
you know, high-minded idiots that are writing cartoons.
I'd say they had so much fun with this episode. My next note was just that I get the impression they had a lot of fun covering the creative process that goes into making a cartoon, where it's like, no, we know attitude, you know, where they're drawing them and all this. Like, they're really going behind the scenes on this one.
Like, you've heard
like the front.
Yeah, very much so. You've heard the expression, let's get busy. Well, this is a dog who gets busy.
Consistently and thoroughly.
And he's like, oh God, yeah. He's like, so he's proactive. We're talking totally outrageous paradigm. You know, like,
we at the network want a dog with attitude. He's edgy. He's in your face. You've heard the expression, let's get busy. Well, this is a dog who gets busy. Consistently and thoroughly.
So he's proactive, huh?
Oh God, yes. We're talking about a totally outrageous paradigm.
Excuse me, but proactive and paradigm, aren't these just buzzwords that dumb people use to sound important? Not that I'm accusing you of anything like that. I'm fired, aren't I?
Oh, yes.
excuse me, I can't stop coughing.
My throat has been going on and off for the last week.
Sorry, folks, that's gotta be annoying. My next note was just, I don't know why I've always liked this line when you see Roy... And he's like, hello, everybody. And they're like, hi, Roy. And Homer's like, yeah, hi, Roy.
Yeah. I love how Homer's just always reading the paper or like, put a sock in it, Roy. You know, like.
I love how little Homer interacts with Roy.
It's great, but it's great. Like.
And so when Homer finds out he's got a hilarious voice, it's like, hey, this is Homer Simpson.
Andy, like, this had happened to me before.
What do you mean?
That it was like. My voice was recorded like when I was like, I'd say 17, 18.
Yeah.
One of the lads had recorded my voice and they were like, they thought it was really funny sounding. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and it was like, oh, like, listen, and he played it back and he was like laughing at whatever way I was saying things, I had put on it. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, it's funny. He's like, you have a hilarious voice. You're like Homer that time. And so when I was watching this, I was like, I feel seen. It's like, this is Homer Simpson saying to all the ladies out there in Radio Land.
So this is what it feels like when dogs cry.
Like, just like, first of all, how he slips into it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I don't sound like that. Like, there's so many times in the past, before we started podcasting, because I forced myself to listen to myself to see... So, like, the first few times before we had our podcast, I was like, I hate the sound of my voice.
How are you now with listening to yourself?
I think I've become okay now.
I have no problem. I mean, there's some times where I'm definitely not in the mood to listen to our own podcast. But I generally would listen to at least the Patreon episode back and maybe one in every two of these ones. If I felt it was a particularly... Like,
I've heard loads of other people on podcasts talk about this and they've said, like, listen to your episode back because you need to learn from yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, like, listening to our early episodes of, like, but even listen to the episodes we recorded before we did this podcast when we were, like, doing Catch of the Day and stuff.
Yeah, soup du jour.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Halcyon days.
I only came across Back to School Bisque. That episode. It's on old SoundCloud.
That filled my creative juices. Coming up with the titles.
I must see if there's anything to be salvaged on
that. I don't think they'd be listenable. I mean, like, we didn't have mics, like, you know.
No. We had that's like the laptop mic or something like that. Far we've come, huh?
Look at us now.
The whole thing of the Poochie auditions, I found this to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Where, like, everyone he sees, he's like, "You're perfect."
A talking dog. What were you guys smoking when you came up with that?
We were eating rotisserie chicken. Can you just read the line, please?
Ruff, ruff, I'm Poochie, the rocking dog.
You're perfect. In fact, you're better than perfect. Next to you, perfection is crap.
Ruff, ruff, I'm Poochie, the rockin' dog.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such cartoons as Christmas Ape and Christmas Ape Goes to Summer Camp.
You're even better than this guy.
Take a hike, you bum.
Ruff, ruff, I'm Poochie, the rockin' dog.
Now that's just bad. You got no attitude, you're barely outrageous, and I don't know what you're in, but it's not my face.
You're even better than this guy.
Take a hike, you bum. He gets so, like, so cutting. Like.
He was so glowing about him a minute ago.
just made me think like Vince McMahon or something like that. Yeah. Like,
take a hike, you bum.
Homer's one where he's like, "Ruff, ruff, I'm Poochie, the rockin' dog."
No.
He's like, "You got no attitude. You're barely outrageous, and I don't know what you're in, but it's not my face."
I love that.
Yeah.
And then I always like the line of when they're actually doing the voice. Stuff where he's like, "Is this going out live?"
Yeah,
and just even the way she's so polite, like, very few cartoons, like, not that doesn't happen. Yeah. Very few cartoons go out live. It's a terrible strain on the animators. Really.
She's a good character. After
I was just thinking that. Yeah,
she's a good, like.
Is she the same character as the executive? Is
that I think so.
Voice?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I'm really doing her disservice by not knowing her name.
Okay, I'll do the... You keep going there, right?
Okay, so anyway, what do I got next?
To the comic book shop, I guess?
Yeah, and I was just have before that, just Poochie's, like, cool look or whatever, like, is so mid-90s cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's
sunglasses and backwards baseball cap and, like, skateboard under the arm. Like, it couldn't be more 90s.
Yeah.
And I love it, to be honest, but it's very of its time. And then you get the comic book stuff. And again, I just feel like they really had... I'd say they had a lot of fun thinking of different responses to, you know, your man where he's like... He clearly strikes two different chords.
Yeah.
And we need to believe this is some kind of magic xylophone.
Well, Andy, let me tell you right now, I've saved our blushes. I got it right the first time. Tress MacNeille as Network Lady.
Brilliant. Well, Tress MacNeille, hats off, because
she's great.
Great in this one, I have to say.
I think she does a lot of Futurama stuff as well. I think she's like Mom in Futurama.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great. Yeah, she's a great actor. What else have I got? Yeah, I hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah, but then, like, his response, first of all, is so clever with the whole, like, "Why would a man who says genius at work?"
And it's so not the way those shows talk to their fans, you know what I mean? Like, they have to still be in that sort of world with them.
But he's I love how asking about the CD-ROM, and this is like, on the itchy and scratchy CD-ROM, is there a way to get out of the dungeon without using the wizard key?
What
are you talking about? Like,
I have, now again, I don't know if I'm jumping it, but I use this all the time when Krusty's unveiling Poochie. Whenever...
just before, I did want to say, I really liked the comic book guy in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, your attention, please. And he's like, an episode. He's like, your attention, please.
He really came into his own here.
Yeah. He's like, no cutting. One per customer. There'll be no cutting. I'm talking to you, Mr. Cutter.
Mr. Cutter.
Yeah. Pardon me. Look out. Pardon me.
Hot
me.
Soup.
Yes. Kindly wait. Make one out to me and three out to my friend of the same name. Yeah. Christy's unveiling, but just even like the people that they have to the house to watch the premiere.
Yeah.
They have like everybody. Jasper, like just weird random assortment of people. Like,
I use his line all the time. Whenever there's a big pod announcement, I always say 1969, 1971, man walks on the moon again. Then for a long time
nothing happened.
Until tonight. Yeah, I've used that so many times, but and then when you like, get to this, when you get to the episode,
I fucking love the Poochie stuff here.
Like what's the rap?
Yeah,
like I don't have it in front.
It just says obnoxious rap. But
the way it's the end where he's like,
you know what it was? I'm the fool you pity.
That's it. That's the one.
You know what it was when I was just that. I was like, that's Homer doing his genie voice. That's Dan Castellaneta doing his genie voice for when he replaced Robin Williams in
Return of Jafar.
Yeah. It's very very Robin Williams, that whole rap. You know?
It is actually, now that you mention it.
I was just like, when he does that, like, I'm the fool, you pity. I was like, oh. Or like when he's like, catch on the flip side.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, it's Genie.
Yeah,
you know, like
the reaction. And first of all, Milhouse just been like, are they going to get to the fireworks?
I love Mo being like, somebody tell me what the hell's going on here.
Yeah, he's like, Midge,
help me out here.
Midge, help me out here. Why would Marge? Marge hates him the most in the room.
And she has no more clue than him. Like,
do you know what I have to say? One of the funniest Simpsons memes, and it's not, I don't even know if it's going to translate, but I cracked up. It was the caption was just when you leave the window open in the summer, and then the picture is just Mo going, oh, hiya, Midge. It's so dumb. I just thought it was so funny. I was laughing for ages. Oh, hiya, Midge. But yeah, and I love Carl's thing
at the end.
Like, they all have their thing to say, but Carl's like, you should be very happy. You got a beautiful home here.
That's so good. And like, again, choosing Carl
yes,
to deliver is perfect.
That was such a great delivery.
It's like, and like, they're doing that a lot this week. Even like Jasper is like, is this she taking, little girl? He's like,
yeah.
Are you blind? Like, yes. They're using their bench very well this week.
Yeah, even like, Flanders is trying to be positive. That was the best episode of Ippy and Chimpy I've ever seen.
And they all go to bed without dinner.
So my next note, again, I've kind of said it a few times, there's a lot of lines I feel the writers wanted to say to people over the years.
The comic book guy bit?
Yeah, where he's saying like, as a loyal viewer, I feel they owe me. And Bart's response, I think, is 100% what they want to say. If anything, you owe them.
They're giving you thousands of hours of entertainment for free. What could they possibly owe you? If anything, you owe them. But even like when he's like saying, he's like, last night's Itchy and Scratchy was without a doubt the worst episode ever. He's like, rest assured, I was on the internet within minutes registering my disgust throughout the world. And like,
I guess that's a thing that was on that Simpsons forum or whatever it was.
Yeah. And like, think about now, like, that was like a hidden corner of the internet. Now it's just like Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, like
you really had to go and search for people's opinions on things.
Yeah.
Back in 96 or 97, whenever it was.
And Brockman then, like, even getting in on it, where he's like, far be it from me to gloat another's downfall, but I have a feeling that no children are going to be crying when this puppy is put to sleep. And so he's like, just like chuckling away to himself.
My next one was just Marge trying to console him. where she's like, it's those lousy riders. They make me madder than a yak in heat.
I'm like, that's a comment on it in itself. It's like, that's the best you can come up with because you're not a rider.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yak in heat. That is so funny.
I love Krusty, though, when they're saying, like, he's like, what happened? And she's like, oh, you know, it's key demographic shifting, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you gotta do something. Yeah. You gotta act on the street.
Krusty's at an absolute breaking point already. And so this whole, the whole thing of, you know, Homer goes in with some ideas. He's like, great, just leave it on the floor on your way out. Like, his ideas are terrible as well.
Yeah. Where's Poochie?
How bad would that be?
Yeah.
And then so he...
louder, angrier, and have access to a time machine. Yeah.
Imagine that. Every time he's not on screen, they should just be saying, where is Poochie? That'd be unwatchable. And so he's supposed to deliver the line, please, I don't want to live. Cut off my head. Yeah. And that's a line that I use a lot in... at home, that no, I will not. I say it with that cadence every time.
I love your one's delivery of like, you look like you've something to say. Do you? I don't know what like my voice is going.
And but then,
even like when like the reading of when Myers is like, we can do the show without you.
Yeah,
and she's like, not without me. He's like, no. Like the noise he makes.
Okay. I'd almost forget that he's not like a regular member of the cast. So
he's only in like three episodes because Hank Azaria did it a couple of times.
I actually very rarely notice, oh, that's a different voice. You know what I mean? Like, is Hank Azaria doing a similar voice?
Or is it completely he's different? Like, here are two free passes. Like, that's not him.
Ah, or of course. Like,
when the front, I think, was the other one.
Right.
Listen up, leeches. Like, it's, you know... It's
Saint
it's
Fair not... Harvard.
He's like, what was that? I wasn't listening. And now I gotta go. Bye.
This guy, Fair Harvard.
You, sir. I'm the poorest man. I'm so yaley.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it really is. What we ever complained about.
And then, that's all my notes, to be honest, but that's kind of, they kind of do him dirty, you might say.
Yeah, he has his speech is nice, I have to say. Like,
it's nice, but it's still out of place, though.
Yeah, and then like, I love your man being like, and cut. Homer saying he doesn't want to oversell it, but it's going to be better than 10 Super Bowls. And
I love how like put thrown shitty. Together.
I love
it is.
How shitty it is that they didn't even bother to animate. They didn't bother to animate it. Like,
it's like it was clearly a last minute. Like,
yeah, it's like
the frame number.
Literally, like
written in biro. Poochie died on the way back to his home planet, and then straight away back to Krusty. Poochie's dead.
Yeah,
and
I love how the kids are like, he came from another planet. Like they're not like. Disappointed.
Yeah, they're
like
just confused. Like,
yeah.
I guess so. And then you get Roy. He's like, he's moving into what, a dorm
his own apartment with two sexy ladies. Maybe we'll see you in a few years, Roy.
Yeah, I like that. Meta nod again. Like, if the show goes really downhill, there's an argument that we should have seen Roy. That's all my notes, Terry.
Watch an episode at the end, and that's pretty much, you know, they're back watching Itchy and Scratchy, good as ever. You know, excellent. And then they just turn it off.
Well, look, should we get into ratings, Terry?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think, and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Well, let me ask you something, friend. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. Like, I wasn't sure. Again, same. I was like, it's like, is it gimmicky?
Yeah.
And it kind, on the face of it, you would say it is, but actually it's way smarter and has way more going on. And that makes, for me anyway, a much more successful episode. And it's very funny.
It is very
it's
funny.
It's very funny because they have big characters in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have Roger Myers
mm-hmm.
in it. Like, you have Krusty.
Yeah.
Like, two of the main characters, like, that kind of leap off the page.
And Homer has to kind of interact with them as well, like, a bit more.
Yeah, so. And Homer is relatively low-key in comparison to them, which kind of works very well, I have to say. Like,
yeah, I have to say I'd agree with you now. It was quite good.
And, you know, I just enjoyed, you know, the writing. I like stuff when meta stuff is done well. And this is a very, like, well-written episode.
Yeah.
I was sitting there getting a little grin every time with something like that. Like, what do they owe you? Or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I'm happy to let or to see them get to kind of have their episode.
Yeah. Something that they probably wanted to make for a while. Or you got the impression anyway that something, you know, just to even show that side and to poke fun at their process,
yes,
you know, seems kind of funny. Can I push you for an MVP, Terry?
It's going to be Roger Myers.
Nice.
He's just so good. Like, right. His voice. I love his voice.
Take a hike, you bum. You're even better than this guy.
Yeah, perfect. Right next to perfect. Next to you, perfection is crap. Like, I love that, like, he's a real old school actor that, like, brings loads to the role.
Yeah, like, he's not shying away. He's fully committing to it, like.
And, like, he's playing, like, a fucking hacky studio head. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's head of the biggest cartoon. Yeah, that's the weird thing.
In that world, I guess.
In that world, or, like, definitely in Springfield.
Yeah.
You know?
And what about your rating, Terry?
I'm going to say a 9.
Ooh, a 9. Okay.
A 9, yeah.
Let me just mark you down here. While I'm marking you down, I will say, hang on, Poochie. 9.0. I would agree with you. I thought it was very good. I enjoyed the meta stuff. And overall, it was funny. That's my big thing that I'm looking for. Yeah, is it making me laugh? And it did a lot. And there were some really good jokes in there. Some good deliveries. Like, even just getting Troy McClure in for, like, a line. You know,
I was actually thinking about that. I was like, we must be coming up to the end.
I was thinking that too. I was like, was this the last one? But they didn't mention it.
No, he's definitely in season 9, I think.
Oh my. Terry, I'm sorry, okay.
He's definitely in season 9. There we go. But that kept happening on Friday when I was recording. I was like, and now my voice is gone. Great. Like,
millions of years ago. Excuse me.
That's partly why I recorded it all, because I felt my voice was gone. Quarters of the way through Hobbs and Shaw.
I'm going to give it an 8.5, and I'm going to
8.5 only.
8.5. Wow. I'm sticking to what I had originally. Sometimes I'll wait and see how I feel, but I marked an 8.5 soon after watching it, so okay. I liked it. I'm going to give my MVP to Tress McNeil and her characters. If you go Roger Myers, I thought she was very good. And I don't know when I'm going to get the opportunity to have her as the MVP. So
it's a weird one as well, because they do what they always do with these characters, is that they ruin them and try and make them into, like, she's perfect as that stock character.
Yeah.
They
went to the well too much then, did they?
No, she was going out with a poo at a time, you know, and was dating around and stuff like that, like,
used sparingly, I'd say, is
and don't give her a name. I prefer not having a name, you know.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Listen, Terry, can we get our plugs in, please?
Please.
Where can they find us?
Why don't you tell me?
Well, I'll tell you, Terry. They can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. You'll find links to everything we do there, particularly on Instagram. You can find some video podcasts in our bio, should I say. You can find our merch, you can find our latest episode, you can find our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel, and Terry, you can even find our Patreon.
Did you say Patreon?
You better believe I said it.
Well, for the low, low fee of $5 a month for 50 euros, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
We don't want to know.
You get access to two of our episodes of our sister podcast, What's So Great About. At the moment, we're sinking our teeth into What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. We've also done a maxi series on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we've done ones on 90s action movies. The other 2 weeks of the month, you get bonus episodes on a wide range of topics. We've done ones on our top five needle drops in movies. We've done a lot of top fives. We've also done
basically the stuff
playlists.
The stuff you see us posting on Instagram is usually all from the Patreon. So if you like that, you'll like us. We also threw out an old Patreon episode last week in our absence. The first Pitch It in H, we've done another Pitch It in H since then, and a similar Dream Cast. It was the Dream Fest release. Yeah, so it was our Dream Festival. What it looks like, what's allowed, what isn't, which was, as I recall, a lot of fun. So if you like that and you want to hear more, it's what's implied. The pop implies they go onto our Instagram, click on the thing, find our Patreon, sign up, get out the card. You know?
Pay?
And pay. Oh, yeah. Most importantly, pay.
Okay. Well, if you can't, I don't know what that was. You went on a weird popping tangent there.
I never know.
If you can't afford the Patreon, and I know times are tough at the moment, you know what you can do? You can give me a 5-star review. I've no bit this week. It's just
what?
No bit. I'm sorry.
You have no bit. No. We're gonna sit here and it's gonna be dead air until you think of one, Terry. Unbelievable! I don't have a bit.
You don't have to come up with these things. Look,
this is all you have to do. I have to edit the fucking thing.
Oh, just give me a 5-star rating or review. it really helps grow the podcast. Really helps grow the podcast. Gets us back in the charts and back. You'll be back in our hearts for that. And if you've made it this far, we've really come off the rails in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, yes. Terry's voice is going. I'm losing my mind. I haven't even discussed the hat I'm wearing all podcast.
If you've made it this far, you're doing the Lord's work. Thank you very much for listening. Even listening to the podcast. That's, you know,
really is the least you can do.
And you're going to have to take a home here.
What? Take the podcast on? Great. Yeah. Listen, on that note, thanks very much for listening. We do genuinely appreciate it, whatever, whether you're a patron or not. We just love that you're here. And we have a lot of fun. And goodbye. And I don't know how to end it either. So
goodbye, here's a folks. Song.